What's going on with Rogers? What's he dealing with, and for how long has it been?
Yeah, it's been for a couple of days. You know, he has the flu, and it's hitting him pretty hard. I'd say it's kind of going through our clubhouse. Weston Wilson had it a couple of days ago. We kept him home. So same thing with Raj. We kept Raj home for 2 days. It's just the unfortunate timing of it because he's starting tomorrow. And, you know, throwing up, all that good stuff. Like, it's tough for a dude to do that and then go pitch and start in a big league game. Obviously, he wanted to, but sometimes you have to be the adult in the room and kind of look out for the player. And so it would be no benefit for Raj to kind of try to push through it because doesn't have his strength back yet and throwing up and all that good stuff. So we want to make sure that he gets rehydrated, gets his strength back, and, you know, it just whenever the stint is over, he'll be ready to go.
Is this, when he is healthy and rehydrated, I mean, could you kind of give him a chance to reset a little bit and really dig into, you know, the last couple of starts and maybe make some changes? Not that it's a silver lining that he has the flu, but to kind of take, you know, a week maybe and skip a turn in the rotation and to study what he's been doing.
Yeah, possibly. But I think right now it's anyone that has had the flu, someone with three kids, when it rips through the house, that kind of puts everyone on their butts. So I think with Raj, let's make sure that keep the main thing and make sure he gets back to himself. But yeah, it probably would be a nice little reset for him, I would imagine. But I think let's get over the grind of being sick first.
Was he dealing with it during his most recent start, or did he start getting sick a couple days after that?
A couple days after that. He might have been feeling it, not sure, but I think when it really hit was a few days ago. Yeah. And we kept him home. We didn't want him coming in and kind of infecting everyone else.
What stands out to you about Basayo's fluidity behind the plate in terms of his movements, particularly throwing the ball down to second base? How is he able to generate such good pop times as he has this year?
I think a lot of it, pop times, it's dependent on the catcher, right? What's the main driver of it? Some guys, it's their exchange. Some guys, it's arm strength. Some guys, it's a combo of both. I think with Basayo, it's heavy on the arm strength. Like, he has an elite arm talent. It's something a little bit that's working against someone like him is the size component. You know, it's tough to organize that big of a body in such a short time window and deliver a ball 127 feet on a dime. But Basayo does a great job of keeping everything compact for a big guy. And when he gets out of whack is when he gets long. But when he's right, like we saw the other day, like, everything's compact. Like, the exchange is close to his body. It's a clean exchange into his hand. He, like, dumps into his hand, and then it just allows his arm strength just to play up. So the arm strength is a big driver for him, but he's done a great job of just working on his quickness and also his flexibility to kind of throw from a variety of different position and arm angles.
Do you have starters for Yankee series?
Not yet. We're still working through it with Raj and, yeah.
What have you seen from Bassett the last couple times out? And, yeah, what's the biggest thing maybe for him to kind of get to where he has been over the last few years to just be a little more reliable?
Yeah, I think it's trending upwards. It's just efficiency with the pitches and being in the strike zone. And to me, Bass has to use all of his pitches at any times that's competitive in the strike zone. He has to be unpredictable. He has a lot of pitches, and there are also a lot of really good pitches. So I think for him, it's not getting pigeonholed into one or two. It's just using his whole arsenal in the strike zone. And like I said, just being unpredictable. You know, I think the offensive game planning component over the years has really drastically improved. There's a lot more information. There's a lot more training environments that hitters are put in to kind of help negate the old, you know, pitches are ahead of the hitters. So with Bass, he just has to be, like, unpredictable with all his pitches at any count, any time.
Adley's been one of the better framers in baseball so far this year. And there's a pitch Friday night that kind of stuck out with Contreras up. He's got a good feel for the zone. Two balls out, Adley pulled him in for a strike. They still have a challenge. How valuable has he been for you guys framing, and just in this new ABS era, how valuable do you still feel like framing is at least 1 month into the season?
Yeah, receiving is is still valuable, right? And I think that's, we're kind of seeing that too. I think it's been not really sure how that was going to impact the game as far as the ABS with receiving. But I think we've seen it because guys, teams are being very calculated with how they use their challenges in certain counts. And so, you know, for our guys, it's still the same messaging where you have to think everything's a strike, right? Your job as a catcher is not to play umpire. Your job is just to catch the ball and have the umpire make the call. And a lot of this, Adley's done a great job of diving in with Joe and Hank with just his setups, glove route, glove positioning. And Adley's been outstanding when it comes to that. And I think that's where, I think sometimes he fools himself a little bit, whereas like we kind of, like, should he challenge that? It looked like it. And you look at the video on the side and it's like, yeah, no, it was not a strike. And that's a credit to Adley. But yeah, he's been outstanding competing for every pitch. And the biggest thing is just kind of the work he's been putting in ever since spring training with Joe. And we're kind of seeing that right now. And I think as long as it doesn't go to full ABS, like, receiving is still going to be a part of this game.
Obviously, you were not here last year, but having watched, you know, video and highlights of Yennier Cano, what do you think what is he doing now that maybe has allowed him to get back to his best? I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of with relievers is confidence, right? And when you have conviction when you're out on the mound on all your pitchers, that's when relievers are at their best, right? When you have any little bit of kind of doubt, whether a pitch call it is, as a starter, you have a little more runway and leeway with it. But as relievers, it's usually in pressure situations and leverage moments. But Yanni's doing a great job of attacking the strike zone. His split has been outstanding this year. The velo and the shape, I think, has been the biggest thing that stands out. And also his sinker as well. Like, I think that's to me, this offseason, looking at it, especially the lefties, it looked like the sinker wasn't in the ideal locations for those hitters, but he's done a great job with our pitching group of diving in and utilizing that in the right locations at the right time.
Taylor Ward has a few more walks than strikeouts, and again, it's only a 30-game sample, but he said he loved that stat, and it was, you know, really good for him. How hard is that, even in a small sample, for an everyday player? And for him specifically, in the bigger picture, the plate discipline skills, how much does that mean to his success?
Yeah, I like that stat too. I like that stat for all of our hitters, you know, and that's, hitting is hard. That's the biggest thing, and that's what the impressive thing about Taylor is, to have that strikeout to walk ratio. Like, it's really hard to do it, not physically, it's the mental bandwidth that you have to lock in on every single at bat. And Taylor does not give any at bat away. Every at bat when he's in the box, like, is the biggest at bat for him. And every time you look up, it's either a 2-2 count or 3-2 count. He does a great job of sticking to his plan. He never feels it, I'm speaking for him, but just watching from the dugout, he's never out of an at bat. You know, he might have two bad swings, you know, for an 0-2 count, but he's taking in information and he makes the adjustment quickly. And that's the biggest thing. Like, I tell all of our guys, like, we have to learn at a faster rate than our opponents. And Taylor, like, he's the poster child for that, just because he's taking in information and learning on the fly in the at bat, and he's able to make adjustments pitch to pitch. And that's what elite hitters do.
About a month into Alonzo's tenure here, just what have you learned about him?
He's the same dude every day. Doesn't matter if he hit big home runs for us or he had a tough game at the plate. You know, that's the biggest thing. He's a constant leader in our clubhouse. He's the same person, brings the same energy. He just wants to win. That's the biggest thing that stands out to me. He's the ultimate competitor, and all he wants to do is win and impact the people around him. You know, and it's tough to come into a new team, new clubhouse, and be that guy. And he's been consistent as anyone ever seen of kind of taking on that leadership role, but it's not in an overbearing way. You know, he does a great job of navigating the clubhouse, navigating conversations, and to me, like, that's where, especially in this game, when we're around each other more than our families, you know, some guys tend to be a little overbearing and weighs on people, but Pete has a great feel about him to navigate the clubhouse in those conversations.
Do